Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone. I've been waiting. All there's left to do is run. Is this in my head? I don't know what to think. He knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring and said, marry me, Juliet. You never have to be alone. Oh, so sorry. I love you and that's all I really know. I talk to your dad. You'll pick out a white dress. It's a love story, baby. Just say yes.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Going on, everybody.
I hope you liked our silly intro interludes.
We are feeling a little bit silly on this Sunday afternoon.
I think there are some good things that have come out of this whole weird time we're in, and one of them is that people are just being weirder and like they don't care because we need things to help us get by.
Right.
So we just sang a little T Swift from her second album, Love Story. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's like a very famous, popular song. And we're just like feeling really hot and pretty, and we feel like our voices are really good. So we wanted to like make sure everyone heard them.
We didn't even practice that.
We didn't. We just started going.
Just started. You know how that goes? We just like start. I also love how everyone's been getting on TikTok, because I'm like, finally, you are all acknowledging that this app is funny and you all needed it. So
it just like forces people to take things less seriously.
Bruchim habayim.
Which, what does that mean?
Means welcome in Hebrew.
Oh, that's so long.
I know.
No,
it's not like a short like willkommen.
Right. Or I don't know what other people say. What's it? French.
Bienvenue.
Oh, okay. Lovely. I was thinking that and reflecting to Sarah that these girls I know who I went to college with and camp, they're both like so smart, but they were also dancers, and now they're quarantined together even though they both have graduated from college and got like, you know, important jobs or whatever. And they're just like being dancers on TikTok, and I love it. I love that this has like forced people to resort back to being kids, because a lot of people are like quarantined with their parents and
totally
with their siblings. So I think that's really cool. I think today the goal of our episode is just to kind of talk about a number of different things that have come up for us during this time. We didn't want to spend too much time talking about like the actual virus, because I think we're all
everyone's
just like
kind of had enough of
we've had enough, and it's always on our mind anyway. So of course we are all leading different lives, so what we're going to be talking about is indirectly related to the virus, but we're
like, you know, what our new normal looks like and how what we're doing in our current lives now that this is normal.
Right. And what sort of mental health issues or questions might come up, given that we're all home alone, or we're home quarantined with the same people, or, you know, like our lives just look different than they did.
Yeah.
But we're, as always, we're going to try to keep it light. Not light to the point where we're like dismissing real feelings, but light to the point where like you can listen to it and not feel dread.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. You can maybe hopefully shake your head yes and say, I feel that way too.
I love that. That was a yoga instructor thing.
It was.
Nod your head yes. Shake your head no.
Yeah, it was.
Also, we wanted to remind everyone about our partner BetterHelp. We have talked a lot over the past several months just about how important therapy has been for us.
And I think especially during this time.
Especially. I mean, it's just interesting because Sarah and I are usually seeing therapists in person, but everyone has moved to teletherapy or telehealth now. So I think BetterHelp is a really great resource for people. And we do have a 10% off code if you want to start doing it. If you go to betterhelp.com/itsfine, that's betterhelp.com/itsfine. You can get 10%
off your first month.
That's right. And as we always say, our DMs are always open too.
Yeah.
Reach out to people, even if you're doing fine, reach out to your friends.
Very important.
Sarah.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Should we do peek and pit?
Oh. of course we should.
Look at the spike in the sound.
So sorry.
Just shut up. Okay. Peek and pit of the week.
Yes. Go on.
My pit was that, so this week is Passover, and while that is, you know, a good holiday because we celebrate the freedom that are we celebrate Jews being freed from slavery mm-hmm. in Egypt many, many years ago. I think it was like 1300 BCE.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great holiday because we're celebrating our freedom, and that's very important. But it's actually, you know, what a little paradox we got here, because now we're all stuck inside our homes.
Right.
And actually on the first Passover, Jews were also stuck inside their homes mm-hmm. And they were eating matzah. And so it's kind of weird. There's like a parallel to the beginning of the first Passover. But anyway, my pit is that, you know, it did make me sad that I had to do a Seder at home, or like via Zoom, couldn't be with my family. Like my cousin was tearing up on Zoom because I could tell that he was like upset because he was alone. And it's just difficult. It's never like sometimes when these holidays come up, we take them for granted. At least I do. And I'm just like, okay, it's another year with my family. But then when you don't get to be with your family, of course it makes me sad. And, you know, it was what it was. But I would say that my peak was the Seder that Liz put on the first night. I just didn't think it was going to be anything special.
Yeah.
I was kind of nonchalant about it because I was just like, all right, we'll do what we can. Like we don't have like that many resources. Like we're with two people here that don't really like celebrate Passover. Mm-hmm. So whatever, like we can do what we'll do. And we ordered a Seder plate, which was so awesome. And I'm so happy we had it. But I will say like going into it, I just wasn't very hopeful. And then my peak was that Liz just like totally led an incredible Seder on the first night. She had her family on Zoom, and I had Zoomed with my family like a little bit before that, but then Liz led a different one. And, you know, that was where we did all of like the steps for the Passover meal, and Liz just killed it. She absolutely like took the lead, knew everything that we had to do. Like it was so seamless. It felt like so natural. It didn't feel like you were panicked at all, or like you were like, shoot, what do I do next? Like it was just so, you were so confident in leading it. You made the story very clear to all of us who were listening and who were there. And I think Ty and Chris, who don't usually celebrate Passover, like enjoyed it too. So I really loved it. I felt like it was so special. And I was just really, really glad that we were able to have like a very beautiful Passover Seder.
That means so much to me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was nervous. I wasn't showing it, but I like spent time trying to, I just like didn't want to be over Zoom and then be like, so, and plus I knew that like my family was going to be there. I'm going to get more into this because it was my peak too, but for like a slightly different reason. I'll do my pit first. So first of all, thank you very much mm-hmm. for saying that. I appreciate it. And it means a lot because I did put in work. So I'm glad that it like showed.
Yeah.
My pit is, feels extra Pittsville because it's like so selfish and not like, it doesn't feel like right to have this pit, but that's part of it. I've just like had the absolute worst week of like feeling like the way that I look. Like I just hate the way that I look. And I think it's because like I'm spending so much time around myself. And I actually talked to Laura Cassiola, who is, I guess, our first guest, just briefly, like over DM, because I posted an Instagram story about it. And she was like, yeah, we've never had so much time with ourselves. So I think it's just been hard for me because that's been like taking up so much of the focus of my brain. And it feels selfish because it's like, how could I be possibly thinking about something as superficial as how I look when it's a time like this? And honestly, not as an excuse, but I think it's just because I don't know how to deal with like the anxiety of things going on outside. And I do know how to deal with like hating myself, which sounds really bad, but that's just like being a woman or like being a person. So I think like that's been really challenging for me, and I'm just trying to like wrestle with that. But my peak was, as Sarah talked about, my Seder was really important to me because even though it was like a little bit stressful to plan and just like organize all the moving pieces, one of the things that stuck out to me was like all of the people that came in to the Zoom. I'm getting like emotional thinking about it because like I'm never going to have a Seder with my mom and dad and Chris's parents because like my parents are divorced, and then any family, like when you're married, you always like divide. So it was like really special to me that they were all there. I don't know, like, I don't like talk about it that much because so many people have divorced parents, but like, it's kind of the same thing with Corona. Like, a lot of people are like, well, I can't feel sad because like I have this thing. Mm-hmm. I can't feel sad because I'm healthy or like my family's healthy. But people don't always like talking about it because it's like, how am I allowed to feel sad that my parents are divorced when literally 50% of the country is? But anyway, you're allowed to feel sad about it sometimes because it makes life harder. And it was really nice to have everyone there, and everyone was like happy and jolly to be there and was helping me. Like, I was asking my mom questions because my mom grew up in like a way more religious environment than I did. And she's no longer like religious at all, but she knows a lot, which is really helpful. Anyway, that was my peak. Passover, I think, is something we wanted to talk a little bit about because mm-hmm. I think the Passover and Easter week has really highlighted this issue and made it feel real. Like, it's Easter Sunday right now, and yeah. We were taking a drive, and like, there was no one out. There was no one. There weren't lines at churches mm-hmm. like there usually are. My stepmom is Catholic, and she usually, like, Easter is really important to her. Easter's a really important like mm-hmm. holiday for Christians, and yeah. as far as like we know.
Yeah.
And she like got donuts from a donut place and like brought them home to the kids, and like didn't get to see her mom, didn't get to see her sister. So it's just like, it's really, really hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard and sad.
Yeah. Our friend Odelia was just telling us how, you know, she turns her, so the more observant religious Jews turn their phones off mm-hmm. for, from the beginning of Passover, which was Wednesday night, until Saturday night.
Right, because so, it's usually the first 2 days of Passover, but then that corresponded with Shabbat. So yeah. it was 4 days of no phones.
No technology. And so I was just thinking about that, like, how, it for us, it was like, of course we're going to Zoom with our families. Of course we're going to talk to our parents on the phone. But a lot of people didn't get to do that because they were following, like, more stricter rules. Mm-hmm. And so that must have been really tough. And it's just, in general, like, this is just such a weird time. And I know that we always say that, but, like, especially during when there are, like, important holidays happening. Because, as I said earlier, like, I at least am just so used to every year just being like, okay, like, I'm going to this uncle's house and right. we're going to do this. And, you know, you don't really, at least I don't really realize how much I love those moments until I don't have them. But I will say, I really loved being with Liz's family over Zoom. Her mom and her dad were like making jokes at each other. Yeah. And it was like really fun.
Delia did the whoa during Dianu.
Yeah. It was really special and really fun.
Thank you.
And also Chris's parents were on too. And that was really funny.
They were being funny. Yeah, no, I think I have actually used this time to talk more with people I wish I could talk to more. Yeah. I think I wanted to talk a little bit about like the language that people are using around this time and how it's like, this is the most important time to do the things that we wouldn't ordinarily. And
I hate that though.
I hate that. But there have been some things that I'm able to do more. Like, of course. I think we all have to give ourselves grace, but also, you know, Sarah and I talk about this, like the fine line between giving yourself grace and like being patient with yourself, mm-hmm. but also not letting yourself fall into an unhealthy pattern of like
right.
nothingness.
Right.
You know,
there is some truth to the fact that right now we do have opportunities to complete projects that maybe we don't have time to do
right.
in our day to day normally. Mm-hmm. Like, there is some truth to the fact that, like, you know, you have time to paint or you have time to read those books that you've been trying to read. Like, but at the same time, it shouldn't be a pressure where you feel like you have to.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you want to, then this is a great time to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering, like, what could I be doing right now? Why don't you try and do the things that you didn't have time to do before? But it should, it's just, it's like,
it's such a balance.
It's a balance. Like, you shouldn't feel like, if you wake up and you're feeling really tired, but you're doing a 30-day workout challenge or something, I don't know, like, if you're not feeling it, that there shouldn't be a pressure, like, I have to do it. Like, this is the time where I have to be doing everything, like, and I have to, like, accomplish so much. It's just like, no, do what you feel like doing. And if you do have the energy, then do it. But mm-hmm. if you don't, then don't. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I know that sounds simple, but it really, I personally get in my head a lot about, like, what I should be doing, especially with working out. Like, it really, like, I think that the last couple of weeks have been really hard for me because I've really enjoyed working out here. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the YouTube videos that we do, but then some days I wake up and I'm just not feeling it. And it's really hard for me to be like, you don't have to do it. Like, you don't have to do it. But it's hard because I, in the back of my head, I'm like, but what else am I doing? I'm just sitting here all day.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like hard because you wouldn't ordinarily do it. So it's like, why are we making ourselves go above and beyond when we're all dealing right. with this like collective uncertainty yeah. and trauma? Like, my mom talked to me about how everyone is putting so much pressure on themselves to do things, but our brains are actually not operating at 100% capacity because we are all going through like unprecedented fear and unprecedented like uncertainty of what's going on. So our brains are like using our brains are being pulled in multiple directions, and like one direction is taking care of us while we are trying to survive mm-hmm. mentally. Because when you think about it, you wake up and it's like the news is X amount of new cases, X amount of things shut down, layoffs, etc. So our brains are like processing that. And even if we think to ourselves like, I'm fine, you know, maybe you still have a job, maybe you're still healthy, maybe you even lost your job and you like have a good perspective on it, you don't realize that like your brain is actually internalizing a lot of the things that you see, a lot of the images and numbers, and it's trying to like protect you. So if you then can't use some of your brain power or body power to like work out or go grocery shopping or like start a blog, that is like more normal than you think mm-hmm. because we can't, like, our brains aren't going to be able to operate as if everything else was normal except right. our living circumstances. Right. Does that make sense?
Totally. Like, we're just trying to be okay with what's happening, and it's a lot to process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's affecting me at least more than I think it is.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
tapping into my subconscious.
Right, right. That's a really important thing. And like waking up for us, we're waking up in a different place than yeah. we were a
right.
month
this
ago.
This isn't home for
right.
us.
So, Sarah and I have been talking about this because sometimes we don't feel mentally well, or even sometimes we don't feel physically well, and we're like, uh-oh, like, what does mm-hmm. this mean? But to be honest, like, a large part of that is just because our circumstances are so different. Like, we spend more time yeah. drinking. We eat like so way true. Differently than we would normally. We wake up at different. I personally wake up a lot later than I Same. Usually do in New York. So many aspects of our lives are different, and we're not. I don't think we collectively as a society are giving ourselves enough credit for like how well we're actually doing.
Right.
Given that there's a lot that we don't know.
Yeah,
we're so used to knowing everything. Or thinking we do.
Right. Yeah. But you're right. It's weird. I think physically, like, sometimes when you change places unexpectedly, you didn't prepare for like a big move. You just like go to a different place. Or sometimes mm-hmm. when you travel to a different country, like, your body physically is different and like is like reacting differently.
Yep.
And so, for example, like, and also I've been having a ton of headaches, and then I realized like we drink every night, and then the next day I'm like, why do I have a headache? Like,
drink
what
every
does
night.
This
don't
mean?
Go outside.
Like. Yeah. Like, we don't get fresh air. Like, we drink. So I drink so much here, like yeah. at night. And, part of that is because I'm just like, well, there's nothing else to do at night. But then also part of that is like, there's four adults, like young adults, like having fun. Like, it's just, it's a fun activity. And
yeah.
We
and
play,
it's a
like,
weird
drinking
time.
Games.
And we're just like.
Yeah. And like, we know we don't have to like wake up early and go somewhere the next day.
Right.
So we kind of just do that a lot. And my head feels weird. My stomach feels weird. Like, I feel kind of like tired. And I think like, I forget that. Like, I'm not in my normal state, and mm-hmm. I'm like, why am I feeling this way? But it's because everything's different. Not only like the patterns and the things that we're doing, but also just like where I'm living right now is different. And so my body's going to react differently than if I were at home in my like natural day-to-day
routine. Totally.
Like, when you travel to a different country, like, sometimes you don't like feel great, or your body doesn't function the way it usually does.
Right.
Because your body's like trying to adjust to this new space.
Yeah, I completely agree.
It's like a mix of things. Like, our bodies aren't totally like, we're definitely going through something right now. Even if you are home at your place and you're feeling like your body's being a little different, like, we're just not in our normal routines. So like, I think it's important to just not jump to like, I have corona.
Yeah.
And be like, this is a weird time, and my body's not only reacting to it, like, mentally things are a little different, but physically also your body's bound to be a little different.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard so many cases of people who do, like, around our age who do have it, and it's like remarkable the difference in like symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that will provide people with comfort or the opposite, but to me it's like been a really good reminder of just like being in touch with my body, but not overreacting mm-hmm. when I feel a little differently than I might have felt the day before or that I might have felt like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that has been helpful to me is talking about taking things day by day. And that's like a cliche phrase that people use even during normal times. But we had a Shior, so like we had a virtual Torah study a couple weeks ago. We need to do another one of those because mm-hmm. it was really helpful.
That was like our first night.
I know. And our Rebbetzin, so the person who leads it, she's the, that means like a rabbi's wife who does a lot of studying on her own. And she teaches us, she talked to us about, actually this wasn't during Shior, this was before Shabbat a couple weeks ago, but she talked about this concept of yom yom. So that means like day by day. And she was like, there's nothing left to say. Which is so weird. Like rabbis and rebbitzins, like, and people who are, you know, wise sages in the community always have something to say mm-hmm. about every situation. And it actually was comforting to me, not the opposite. I was like, this is a sense of uncertainty that everyone is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And all we can do is take it day by day. And I think while that's a concept that you've probably heard and been like, yeah, that's easy for everyone to say, just like try to internalize that and know that like, you just can't plan right now. You have to take things day by day. So if that means waking up one day, listening to your body, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and saying, I'm a little tired. I'm going to do things to make me feel better, but I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself.
Totally.
I think that's a really good perspective to have.
Yeah. When I started living my life, not just like pre-quarantine, when I started living my life day by day, it changed everything for me because as someone who struggles with anxiety about the future and like what's going to happen, mm-hmm. I get really easily overwhelmed by like, how can I plan out my entire future so I know what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then this quarantine really taught me that that's not happening.
Yeah.
There's no planning the future because you really don't know what's going to happen. So just remembering every single day that today is a new day. I will listen to my body of what it wants today. I will not think about tomorrow yet because all I can do is control the now. It's just important to really listen to your own needs day by day and not try and plan. And I think that it makes, at least for me with anxiety about the future, like it makes it a little less overwhelming to just be like, I'm just going to focus on today. I'm going to focus on how I'm feeling right now. I'm going to focus on what do I want to have for lunch, and I'm going to get my work done for my job, and then we'll see about how I feel tonight. And mm-hmm. then tonight I'm going to go to sleep, and then we'll wake up tomorrow, and then I'll base my day tomorrow based on how I feel tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps a lot, and it makes it more like manageable and not so like,
you know, ominous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's something that I've taken away for sure. I guess like some of the other things that have helped me are like resources that I've been using. I've plugged her a couple times on this podcast, but Heather McMahon, if you aren't following her on Instagram, please do yourself a favor and follow her because she just makes me laugh so hard. And she doesn't like try to distance herself from the actual problems. She just like faces them head on and makes fun of them. And it just is such a bright light of my day as looking at her Instagram stories or listening to her podcast. I've also been reading, which has been really nice. Again, I don't want what I'm doing to put pressure on other people. Mm-hmm. If you're not a reader, if you don't normally read, that's okay. Although I will say that one thing I talked to our friend Alana about was Alana doesn't typically read very much. And I was saying to her, like, maybe if you want to read, if that's a goal of yours, pick a topic that you love. It doesn't have to be like, yeah. You don't have to read, you know,
Shakespeare.
Like you can read a celebrity memoir. You can read a young adult novel.
I got into reading by starting with the Click books.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I didn't start with Shakespeare.
I just think
I didn't end with Shakespeare. I'm not there.
Yeah, no, I've never been there. Like, I was actually thinking about this the other day. Who, like, when we read Shakespeare in class, there's no way that every single person in the class wasn't on Shakespeare Notes or whatever that website was called.
There's no way.
No one. What was he talking about?
I don't know. I never figured it out. I still don't know to this day. It's like, why force yourself to do something that you're not interested in? If you want to read, read, but find something that you like.
Right. And you know? Don't have to like be like enriching your intelligence every time you pick up a book. What I like about reading is just being able to focus more of my brain on something different.
Yeah. To me, it's really getting lost in like a story,
yeah.
or finding comfort in someone else's words. It's just kind of like, I don't know. Not that it's like a distraction at all, because I do love self-help books,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes reading is just so calming to the brain.
Yeah.
It's not, it's like the opposite of being on your phone, because your phone can really like get your brain going.
Yeah.
I think of like a hamster on a treadmill. It's just like go, go, go.
Right.
But reading is so can be so calming. And especially if it's like a fiction story and you're getting lost in the story, like you like take a break from reading and you're like, where am I? What's going on?
Right.
So it can kind of be like it's like kind of the same thing as binging a Netflix show.
Agreed.
But a little bit calmer.
All of those things I think are really helpful, and also giving yourself grace. Like, you don't have to read 15 books during quarantine. Read one, read none.
Right.
But like, you know, pick something that'll help you to align your brain with just like something else besides everything going on in the world. You don't have to like watch the news all day. You don't have to be on Twitter all day. In fact, you probably shouldn't be doing those things all day, because they are probably good for no one's mental health.
Right.
So.
Right. And if you are feeling bored, I would take what you said about reading and make that like an overarching piece of advice. Just when it comes to anything, like, what are you interested in?
Mm-hmm.
And then find ways to either like do or read or learn about what you're interested in. But once you've figured out what you like, for example, I know I was talking about TikTok, but like, I love singing and dancing. I love Broadway shows. I love music. So for me, when I go on TikTok, like, that is the kind of content that I love to look at, because that's what I like. That's what I'm interested in. If you do want to be productive, like, it doesn't have to be these like grand
things. It doesn't have to be like novel things.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
have to pick up needlepoint if you don't like it.
Do what you're interested in. Find what you like and then do that.
I think that's a great point. Like, I think extending what you like so that you are doing something more enriching or more mm-hmm. distracting, but not making yourself like pick up a brand new hobby.
Right. Like, I can't stand painting, but I'm not a painter.
No.
I've said painting a million times because it's like a great example for me, because I'm not a painter and I'm not good at it. And I don't even like think I enjoy it that much, but I think that I should be, because I'm like, well, I have all this time and I've been seeing other people doing that, but I don't like it. Why would I do it?
Totally. I think that this idea that we have to pick up a new hobby, like, if you want to, that's fine. If that's something that you had wanted to do and you feel compelled to, great. But like, say you're me and you love the Kardashians. Okay. Pick up Kris Jenner's memoir, or like, you know what I mean? Like, you can extend what you already like, but do something that's a little bit more enriching that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily
do. Or for example, like, I love yoga. If I were bored, one thing I would do, I would probably be like looking into different yoga teachers online, different inversions that I could be like working on, you know, like, I've been working on my headstand every day just because I'm like sitting here and I'll just get on the ground. Dive in to what you already like.
Yeah.
We don't need to find new things because we feel like we should really be like expanding our hobbies and our capabilities. Like, just find what you like and do that.
Yeah.
And I think that you'll find that that is more enjoyable than trying to do something that you don't even like.
And also, some days you can't do the things that you like because you might be feeling a little bit more anxious.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you like may not feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself grace with that. There are a lot of days that we have. So don't feel like, oh, well, I'm going to get to that thing and then quarantine's going to be over.
Right.
It's like, that's not really how it's going to be. And if it is, great. Like, because I mean, I think, I don't know, we don't know how long this is going to last, but I think, like, just again, day by day.
Right. Another point is that I do see a lot of like, I need to make sure that I get that I do this, or I'm good at this, or I've picked up this hobby before quarantine ends. If anything, this could be a time to explore, maybe if you like, some new interests, or as I said earlier, find something you like and then do more with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if anything, this is just a time to explore so that you can continue doing that in your everyday life.
Totally.
There's no like end. There's no deadline, because once quarantine ends, you're not going to be able to do it. This is just like, ooh, maybe this is a time to like find out what else I can be doing, if that's what you want to do, so that when normal life continues, you can bring that into your everyday life and you can find time for it. If anything, I was so overly busy before quarantine, and like, this has taught me that I need to take a step back. And I feel like I don't know if this relates at all, but what I'm saying is, I now know that when life picks up again, I am going to adjust my life a little bit based on like what I've enjoyed right now, right yep. here. I'm not, it's not like once quarantine ends, boom, I'm going back to my old life. No, once quarantine ends, I'm going to really pick and choose what I've enjoyed during quarantine mm-hmm. and take it with me.
I relate to that so much.
I just got so heated.
No, but I know exactly what you mean because I've been having this anxiety that sounds like, it just sounds like it doesn't make sense, but maybe other people can relate, which is like, oh no, I'm going to have to get in all my relaxing right now because mm-hmm. as soon as summer hits and we're allowed to, you know, right. God willing, go outside, then I'm never going to be able to be inside. Like that's my anxiety now is like, well, I guess what am I going to do if it's July and we're all out and I don't want to go out? Like yeah. what if I want to be inside? Then everyone's going to be like, you can't be inside because we just spent months inside.
Exactly.
And it's kind of like, well, no, like, yes, there will probably be more people and more of us want to be outside, more out and about more. But I've never been the kind of person that's like, I'm going to work for 6 days straight so that I can take that one day off and then I'm going to vacation. I have never had the personality of being like 100% this mindset mm-hmm. switch right away. Like I kind of have to have a little bit of each.
Yeah.
Of course, there have been times in my life when I'm technically on vacation. But even then, I like some semblance of a routine
yep.
and vice versa. I don't go to work every day and then come home and like eat gruel and like you know what I mean like yeah. every day you have to give yourself grace of like yeah if you spend every day just working and not watching any TV, not reading, not doing anything for fun, and then your vacation days are purely nothing besides lying on the beach, then like I don't know, I've just never related to that. All of that is to say, you don't have to like push yourself to try and accomplish things during quarantine when there's no deadline.
There's no deadline.
Like if you really enjoy painting, like say you're one of those people who took up painting during quarantine and you can do it inside, great. Hopefully summer comes and you find a nice terrace to do
exactly.
it on.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's like we can continue, like maybe we'll be outside a little bit more over the summer, but we don't need to then put all this pressure on that like once quarantine's over, suddenly we're going to be like outside all day, every day,
right.
being on boats and parasailing.
Right.
Like life will continue on and you will be able to do what you want to do. And if that means being inside and chilling, that is okay.
Something Sarah and I say a lot is, you know, if you don't want to do this thing, you shouldn't, or you're allowed to feel how you want to feel. And I want to emphasize that we're not saying those things because we're trying to be like overly, you know, I mean, we are trying to be cautious, but we're not trying to be like overly coddling people.
Right.
I think we say that because it's like if you try to do everything and you're not kind to yourself, it's going to backfire.
Yeah.
Like we're not saying those things because we're like, you deserve to only feel good all the time. Right. We're saying that because it's like if you attempt to do everything in life, you will do none of it.
Right.
So like that's where really my mentality of this is coming from, because it's like if I tell myself that I can't go outside during quarantine, or sorry, if I tell myself that when this all ends, I'm going to have to be outside 100% of the time, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to kind of like just be honest and evaluate things in a reasonable way instead of being like, well, when this ends, like everyone is going to be outside all the time and mm-hmm. I have to be outside or else I'm a low life. Mm-hmm. Like, and also I have to treat myself kindly, because treating yourself unkindly isn't going to make you more productive.
Right.
Like saying, I'm so lazy, I can't do any of this, that's not going to make you less lazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like wanted to emphasize again why we speak that way.
Right.
It's not just because we're like so lovey all the time and everything
right.
is peace. It's
no,
because
yeah.
we want to like be realistic.
I completely agree. I'm really glad you said that. Also, please note that a lot of what we're saying is coming from our own anxieties and our own pressures. For me, when I speak, it's because I have this anxiety of like what I should be doing. And that's like a horrible, should is a terrible word to
I
use.
Agree.
But in my head, that's like the anxiety that I feel is like, what should I be doing? And also it's this quarantine has forced me to take a look at my life the way it was before. And I'm like, well, what was I liking and not liking? Because
right.
I was moving at a really fast speed all the time. So this quarantine has kind of forced me to look back and say, okay, like what could I do in my day to day that makes me a little bit happier? And I think a lot of my pressure before quarantine, the pressures that I felt were like, I don't know. There's a lot, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I feel like I very often felt like I, again, should be like busy all the time because mm-hmm. I'm like single and everyone's like, well, when you're single in New York, you should be like living it up.
Sex in the City.
And yeah. And I think that I spent so much time being like, go, 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 do something every night. Like this is New York City, baby. I'm in my 20s. Like
right.
got to live it up. And also sometimes I was busy to avoid being by myself in my apartment and being anxious about that, mm-hmm. or being home and sitting with my own thoughts. And this quarantine has kind of been like, all right, well, we're going to put all of that on hold for a little bit. So now you have to think about what you liked and what you didn't like. And my life is going to look different after this. I think that I want to give myself more time to like relax at home because I wasn't really doing that before. Mm-hmm. And anyway, all of that to say that I just, all of this is coming from like our own anxieties and like what we're feeling during this time and how we're coping with it. And we want to make sure that others take away that they don't have like, also not to mention, but social media can make us feel like we should be doing things as well. And so at least for me, like I want to take this time to remind myself and others that you should, you should try to remove the pressure that you may be feeling, mm-hmm. and really just listen to like what you need and what you want.
Mm-hmm. And basically to summarize what Sarah and I were saying, my addendum to that is we're not saying that because we think that we need to coddle ourselves, because I get into that mindset too of when people say to me like, you don't have to do anything, mm-hmm. take it day by day. I'm like, well, I can't, like that sounds like a cheap, easy, lazy way out. But then I have to reframe my thoughts, because the reason that therapists, influencers, whoever, like wise people say that is because they know, and like research proves, that the more we try and do everything, the less we actually accomplish. Mm-hmm. So when Sarah and I say, you know, take it day by day, take the pressure off yourself, it's not because we don't want you to be the best version of yourselves. Or
totally.
I mean, that can be like also a toxic mindset. Anyway, my point is, it's because we know that when we give ourselves more room to explore how we're actually feeling, that's when like maximum peak life happens.
Yes.
You know what
and
I mean?
And like we're actually able to achieve things and feel good about them when we've slowed down.
Exactly.
And take kind of taken a step back.
Right. Like, it's like slow and steady wins the race. It's so true. Because if you try and go, like you will burn out. And Sarah and I, even throughout the course of our podcast before March or before February and March, we experienced a lot of that. Like we were going to the point where we were like, I just did so much and I feel like I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to push ourselves so much. Whereas if we had slowed down and evaluated like what's actually important to us, we might have been able to give two or three things 100% instead of 100 things,
right?
Like 4%,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that mentality can apply here too, when we try to like, oh, I have to cook every day, do my job every day, or look for a new job, take care of my family, like build a business, make mm-hmm. a hobby, become a bodybuilder. It's right. Like, no, maybe pick one of those things. Yeah. If you feel like you have idle hands,
right?
You can take it day by day. So like, if you really do want to become more, like, if you want to have stronger arms. Okay, like that's something that you can do every day that you feel able to do it. But if you
try, like that's also like choosing one thing, right. Focusing on it, and then taking it slowly. It's right. Not like I need to be the world's best whatever by next week.
Exactly. It's like if there's something that you want to use this time to do, you can do it. But also know that like every day is different, and think about your time before all of this quarantine, and like you wouldn't have had time to accomplish those things, and you also wouldn't have put that pressure on yourself. Even though a lot of us are still working from home and like we have normal jobs, we still may feel this pressure to do all these other things. And it's like, wait a minute, when you were working at your mm-hmm. office, like you weren't doing those things because you didn't have time and energy.
Right.
So
just because you're home doesn't mean that you suddenly have all the time in the world.
Exactly.
And we still have our jobs.
Exactly.
We still have taking care of our own well-being.
Right. And for those people that maybe were laid off or furloughed, like you don't have to feel that now that you don't have a job, you have all the time in the world, because actually you are going through something really hard. Mm-hmm. So you need to give yourself grace, because
process
like going through a layoff or like having uncertainty about your job is kind of a job.
Yeah.
Like you have to be able to take care of yourself and know that you don't have to now suddenly launch your business because you just lost your job two days ago.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Completely. It's like that's already a lot to take in at once. Mm-hmm. So really take the time to process it and be okay before you decide to start your next big thing, or if you want to do that. Also, like when we started this podcast, even I felt like there was so much ahead that I was like, I want to do it all now. Like, I want to just accomplish everything right now.
Yeah.
But it was like, over time we learned that you really have to like experience things in order to grow, in order to learn. And it's not all going to happen at once. Mm-hmm. Like it's really step by step. And that's helped us. But yeah, I think that, if you do want to, you know, if you do have goals for yourself during this time, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's just like, don't forget to be kind to yourself.
Yeah. I think that above all else, because we are all already doing a lot by self-isolating and staying inside and being away from so many people that we love. Like that is incredibly taxing.
Like you're not doing nothing.
I know. It's just like it's doing we're a made lot. To feel that way because especially like Western culture is very like go, go, go. You know, if you're not out and about, you're not accomplishing things, you know, like get up, rise and grind. And so now that we're not doing that in the way that we thought we were supposed to, we think that we're not doing anything.
Right.
But we're like really doing, we're a, doing lot, a lot, and we completely uprooted our whole lives to try and like be part of this collective effort to
flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve. Yeah. So I don't know. I think like we forget about that because we're like, well, we're home and we're not hustling and bustling and riding the subway every day, so we must be being lazy.
Right. We must be doing nothing. But this really is really not, actually a lot.
I know. And like it's so weird, like what I would give now to be able to ride the subway and like these things that I hated because I was just like, I don't know, I hated the mundane day to day. And now that I don't have it, it's just a reminder of like trying to figure out what's important.
Yeah.
I think that's been an important aspect of this whole thing.
Right.
But also you don't have to figure everything out. That's important because our brains are really occupied with a lot of different thoughts.
If anything, it's like use this time to even just think about what you want to take away from it.
Yeah.
And then once our lives go back to normal, then you can start to figure out like what your new normal looks like.
Right.
And you can start incorporating some of the things that you want to be doing in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, again, just to reiterate, like this quarantine isn't the only chance you're ever going to have to like do things that you enjoy or like start a business or start a podcast. If you've always wanted to do that, like that will also be available to you once we go back to going outside.
Yeah. I wanted to take the chance to thank people who are really taking on a huge burden of this entire situation. So that includes like, you know, people say essential workers. So people who mm-hmm. are working in grocery stores, people who are continuing to, you know, put themselves out there in a way that makes them more vulnerable as opposed to people who are maybe like sitting inside and, you know, doing their part differently. And I feel sorry that it took this to realize who some of the really important people were in our society.
Yeah.
I also like obviously want to thank nurses and doctors and everyone who works in and around hospitals for like taking on this burden that was completely unexpected. Yeah. Like I know people who are my age who were in nursing school and now they're nurses or like they're training to be nurses and they're just like now intensive care nurses.
It's so crazy.
It's just bizarre. And
it's so much at once. And even seeing those pictures of like nurses or doctors with like the scars on their faces from the masks mm-hmm, they're wearing all mm-hmm, day. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's really like a thankless job.
Yeah. And I think I saw some pictures of like Israeli doctors who were obviously wearing full like hazmat gear and they would put their pictures on their suits people like,
I saw that.
Imagine being a patient and all you see is like, you know, someone in like an astronaut suit. It's very, very scary when you're already scared. So I liked like the way mm-hmm. they were trying to humanize the doctors. And my dad's also a doctor and he normally works in long-term care, so he'll work with people who have chronic illnesses. And he said that his hospital's just like completely shifted to be almost exclusively COVID patients.
Wow.
So that's like been really just interesting. And I'm thankful that like he's doing that, but it's just crazy that even my dad, who his medical training was, you know, he was put in front of a lot of like scary things. He often has recounted a story about like a gunshot victim that completely stuck with him. And even he was not prepared for this. Wow. So I just think we're actually all doing an incredible job, like considering how uncertain things are. And sure, you see the stories about people who are like still out and about in Florida. And like, I'm not with that at all. But I just think like collectively, there have been so many people who have been forced into a situation that like they've just completely taken it on.
It was unexpected. Yeah.
So yeah,
I completely agree. I also want to make a quick note that it may seem like, you know, Liz and I are like having the time of our lives because like we're with our friends in quarantine. Uh-huh. But you know, I think everyone is definitely experiencing some like difficulty and uncertainty here. And Liz and I are definitely going through things. But if you are alone, I want you to know that you're not, you might be alone physically, but we are totally with you. And if you really, if you need someone to talk to, like, our messages are always open and we're here for you because we understand what it, how it feels to be anxious about what, like, not knowing what's happening. Mm-hmm. And also, we also understand what it feels like to be lonely, even if you are surrounded by people or if you're alone physically. The feeling of loneliness is definitely something that we understand. So we're here for you. You're not alone. And we will all get through this together. And I think that, you know, keep on being brave and staying home. And I don't want to be like cheesy, but I think sometimes these things need to be said because, yeah, you know, even like when I've been alone, like as a single woman, you know, sometimes I just feel lonely and yeah, it's nice to be like, I'm here with you.
Yeah.
So just a little reminder that we're here for you.
You can find us. You can DM us too on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod, on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine PD. You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height. How about you, Sarah?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone, that's N like Nancy, on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
So keep reaching out to us, reach out to each other, take care of yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Reach out to your friends, even though you may feel like they are totally fine. Like, you never know what your friends are going through or what anyone's going through. So reach out to those who you may have not spoken to in a while, or maybe you talk to someone every day, but
continue to do so.
Continue to do it. Yeah.
So
with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.
Bye.